Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Redmen TV. It's the build-up show, Liverpool, Barcelona, Champions League semi-final, second leg. This should be one of those shows we're talking about. Oh, tight, we gave Barca an amazing game, and we've got, if we just put a good performance in, then we'll be booking our place in the final, and then somehow we lost 3-0. And here we are. Chris, this is it. Win, score 4 goals, stop them scoring. Book your place in Madrid. Simple as that.
It sounds easy.
Doesn't it?
It sounds really easy, but we know how good they are now. The thing with this game for me is that, you know, Liverpool come out of the blocks really quickly and get a goal, and you can put pressure back onto Barcelona and they start to worry and stuff. And we can play with a freedom now where we know we just need to go and we need to score goals.
Yeah.
So you're not throwing question marks around who's going to start at right back. They might be more defensively. It's just get everyone on the field to score as many goals as you can.
Yeah.
And Liverpool are good when they play like that.
Yeah.
You know, last season, we scored 3 against Manchester City in 9 friggin' minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we can go out there and we can score goals.
Yeah. I know, I agree with that.
And we don't need 4, actually. We need 3.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. But yeah, that'll take us straight through. We won't have to worry.
Yeah, of course, of course.
We won't have to stress the penalties.
Yeah, you know, no, but that's it. You know, you're going out there and you're trying to get 3,
yeah,
first and foremost.
Yeah.
And then you're trying, and then you try and get a 4th, you know what I mean? And yeah, whether that comes in 90 minutes or not is irrelevant.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben, that's it. You know, it's we're lucky that this side is so good. And the good thing is, as well, is that I think if we'd gone to the new camp and we'd been played off the park, I'd be like, I hold on to that one last shred of hope in this is that Dembele chance right at the end, right at the death in the new camp. If that goes in, then you might as well not bother turning up. Now, to be honest, the odds of Liverpool scoring 4 without conceding against Barcelona is slim. I'm not a betting man anyway, but I'm sure the odds would be, you know, amazing on that at the moment. But it does feel, we've seen us, as Chris mentions, you know, we've blown teams away at Anfield in the past. I'm not quite sure with that team this season, but we know that we've still got all the players that were capable of doing it last season. We are better in general. We live in hope.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing that we've got to remember is that we're not that Brendan Rodgers team from 5 years ago, who went, you know, who got blown away at home to Real Madrid, and we were like, well, that's just where we are as a side. Look, if we score early here, as you say before, the ground will be absolutely booming,
yeah,
and it will just take us to another level. And it doesn't matter how good you are. You touched on Man City already last season. It doesn't matter how good you are. It will get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way Roma crumbled last season in a semi-final. If you get one, You just never know, because that's what you mean. You know, we played so well in the new camp. Everybody's well aware that,
yeah,
if we go there, we make a noise and we get behind the lads, then we can propel them to another level.
Roma are a great example in two ways, aren't they, Tom? Because obviously they came back from a similar deficit to Barcelona last season to knock them out, and equally, you know, we another example of a team that we absolutely blitzed at Anfield. So plenty of encouragement in that regard.
Yeah, there is. I mean, their thing was they got an away goal, which helped them,
yeah,
massively. Which, I mean, if we would have got that, Salah puts that away, Milner puts his chance away,
yeah,
then we're looking at this in the same vein to what we are now, but with a load more optimism. But I think this just got the makings of such a massive night in terms of, it's going to be another one of them things where you're at Anfield, it's the Champions League, and if we score 4 and the crowd get up, this is never ever going to get forgotten.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in the final, and I think as a stage that's been set, I would have liked to have been a bit easier and have it in a better way. But I mean, what it's a story that is getting written right now, and that could be one of the things you tell your kids about.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. And this is the thing, Chris, it's got that. We either go through in the most glorious of possible circumstances, or we go out with, you know, having come up against a really good team.
Go out swinging, though, either way.
Exactly that.
No, listen, everybody knows Messi. We've seen Messi in the flesh now, you know. We know how good he is. We also know that towards the end of that game, with 10, 15 minutes ago, Barcelona was struggling. They were tired. There was a lot of tired players out there. They know, I think, leaving the field that, you know, yes, they got a fantastic result, but I think they also know that they might not be able to replicate that again because of the intensity that Liverpool played with and stuff. And I think it all hinges on that first goal for me. If we get an early goal, then we're going to find out how good Barcelona are, one way or another.
The most important thing for me is about how we keep our heads, because the problem with Barcelona is that you can't afford to leave the back door open. We got very lucky. Sometimes it was brilliant defending. The piece of Andy Robertson defending, he was just next level. And he put a couple of them in, actually, throughout the game. But I also saw Liverpool in that, like, 5 minute spell after we conceded the second goal, maybe a little bit more, that we completely lost our heads.
Yeah.
And we looked like last season's Liverpool, where it felt like it was going to unravel before. I bet it was Kiev all over again, where the game could have been completely put to bed. And that's the thing. Hopefully we're not in that situation, because, to be fair, if Barca scored a couple of goals, then it will be tie over. But also not to get too swept up in going a bit too gung-ho at times.
We've seen that a couple of times, certainly at Anfield this season, where we've almost willed them into the press, haven't we? And, you know, we've ended up conceding goals from it. I think it has to be the most professional performance that you were ever going to see from a Liverpool side to come back from this.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing. I'm kind of happy that, look, there were people saying, "Oh, we might be respectful to Suarez and stuff." Now it's all gonna be booze and jeez and everything.
I'm genuinely made up that we can get over the Suarez loving angle. Yeah. He's the most talented footballer I've ever seen play for Liverpool by a distance, actually, because as much as Kenny and Gerrard and all that, I've never seen anyone quite like him. But I think, and I saw Ben summed it up quite nicely, that is who he is. Let's make no bones about it. You know, that's his character through and through. But because of that, I think he's fully, let's play the game.
Yeah.
Let's play the game. Let's call him a cunt. Let's boo him and jeer every single touch, and let's heckle him, and let's drive it. And he'll probably thrive on it, because that's the type of kid that he is. But I wouldn't be, this notion that we're going to turn up and go, "Oh, thanks very much for coming." We're not fucking Man United and Ronaldo. We're not this idea that he's on loan at Barcelona. He fucked us over, he's gone. And then he's gone and fucking done that to us in the new camp. Fuck him.
He's brilliant. And that goal that he scores is world class. The run, everything about it. And for me, though, everyone's going, "Oh, well, little dives there from Messi, and Messi punching Fabinho in the head." Sadio Mane dived everywhere over the box. It wasn't dives, because there was contact.
Yeah.
But he put himself to the ground and got his free kicks. And
well, the Messi one where he jumps up, punches Fabinho in the head, then rolls around like he's been shot. Then instantly jumps to his feet, gets the free kick and sticks it in from fucking 40 yards is a level of shithousery that we're not quite at just yet.
I mean, is that talented that he can somehow move it 5 yards ahead? fair play to the guy. But it's one of them. I think we've got that bit of nous now. We know what we're doing. We've been on this European stage before.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I just want to see what Klopp's going to do. It's a bit of a shame that Keita can't play because if we're talking about an attacking style of football, that Keita and Hendo in them roles would have been perfect for that, especially on the right-hand side, linking up. And we spoke about Trent, Hendo and Salah before, and how good they are as a trio on the right-hand side. I'm really, really interested in who are we going to play in that attacking... Well, I mean, Keita doesn't really play the attacking role, but we need someone to cover the whole field.
Who's going to do that
and who's going to do that effectively?
It makes you wonder, like, Ben, I think a lot of people were surprised that the Keita thing, I mean, it looks like he's not just going to be out for the rest of the season, but possibly miss the African Cup of Nations as well, which, I'll be honest, I can't get upset about, because I'd forgotten it had moved to the summer. I was just made up it wasn't in January. I was like, "Oh, right, yeah." So, no rest. No rest for the African lads again. Brilliant. I thought what was interesting about the Newcastle, Keita was brilliant, and I thought he was so integral to how we were playing, how we were disrupting their midfield. But then you saw Jordan Henderson come on again and put another top quality Jordan Henderson performance. I think we're in a lucky position, aren't we? You know, with it, what we've got is we'll still have options. Even you know, we'll still have different things we can do. There's players we're probably not even thinking about who will be able to have an impact on this game.
I think to be honest, I get the rave about Keita. At the moment, I'm preferring Henderson because I think he's got the better final ball. You think about that Sadio Mane chance in the first half that Henderson whips that ball in for. I'm not sure Keita, well, I've not seen that Keita's really got that in his locker yet. So for me, in a game where you have to put everything on the line and you need somebody to play that killer pass, I've seen more evidence that Jordan Henderson can do that this season. Yeah. So if Keita being injured, look, it's not ideal that he's out for the season, and it's a shame for him that he's going to miss the Cup of Nations as well. But from a perspective for this game, if Keita being injured means that Jordan Henderson plays, I actually prefer that.
Yeah. I mean, because as we kind of alluded to at the top, if we can't get up for this, like, I don't know. I've seen loads of people trying to organise a coach meeting, and it's one of those things, isn't it? It's organised by people, like, it's like a shadow organisation of Liverpool fans who we don't really know. I'd be amazed if there wasn't something that happened in that regard. I'd be amazed if Spy and Cop didn't have, like, double the amount of flags ready for it and all that. This is what it's all about, though, isn't it? This is what we were made for, is big European nights under the lights. And as much as we've got an absolute mountain to climb, you know, having it at Anfield, the second leg, we talked about it in Barca. It wasn't going to be done after the first leg. It was always going to be an amazing night.
At Anfield, absolutely. And, you know, there were so many thousand Liverpool fans went over there. We'll all want a bit of retribution for that. And there's going to be another 40, 50,000 Liverpool fans who weren't there who want to create an atmosphere to welcome this team back, because we're not forgetting how good a season we've had here. We've had a bad game. That's all it is, ultimately, you know what I mean? And the thing that why I'm so disappointed off that is I remember sitting here doing the podcast with everyone last week and saying, if we both play at our best, I think Liverpool can win. What I saw was, unfortunately, Liverpool play it close to their best and get beaten by 3-0. But I think what I said last week still stands. I think it can happen the other way round. Yeah. I think Barcelona could have a good night and we could just score more goals than they do. So, you know, I think, and the great thing is, it's not Twitter fans who are in the ground. Yeah. Because that's the fundamental difference for me, is that people who go to the game, you see the build-ups and stuff, like, for big games, and the team line have come out. And if you looked at Twitter, you'd think the atmosphere is going to be shit today. Yeah. And you get in the ground and everyone's buzzing for it. But it's going to be 10 times better in the ground than on Twitter.
What's funny is, you know, it becomes more and more of a thing, but, like, you're right, the social media is no barometer for how fans think and feel, unfortunately. It's just not. It's a breeding ground for just people who have really bad anxiety or are bad blurts. And some of them are fine, and some people are dead sound, some people are knobheads. It's not their fault, and some people, but it's no one's fault. Some people are just made differently and made more negative and what have you. But what's encouraging, I think, I see a lot of this stuff from other fans, and they clearly exist. You know, there's just oddballs all over the place. I've seen more people reacting to people saying negative. The idea that people are saying negative things, I've not really seen lots of negative things. What was good is, I was really encouraged by it, is the general consensus, Ben, that Liverpool played really well in the new camp, but we were undone by, as Tom said, a fantastic ball and finish from Luis Suarez. Okay, the build-up's good to the second goal, but there's no legislating for it in the crossbar and dropping to the best player in the history of football with a complete open net, and then an absolute piece of genius. On the balance of it, you know, again, if we take our chances, we could have gotten something from that game. So it stands to perfect reason that we can do the same again in this game.
Yeah, definitely. And that's all we've got to look. Again, Tom's touched on it. I think Klopp may have taken 3-1 before the game. So even if all that happened and then Salah took that chance away, I think he comes away from that and goes, you know, we're in touching distance, you know, I'd take that. It's not happened. It just wouldn't go in. So this week we've got to go again. You've got to take that. We're going to create a chance in the first 10 minutes. Can we take it?
You know, I mean? Genuinely want, because you see Messi at the end of that game, Tom, and he's, you know, they've missed that chance, and he's kind of like, he's wrecked because he's just like legged at the length of the pitch, but he's kind of like ruefully smiles, like, oh well, 4 would have been lovely, but 3's sound. That's my, you know, little hope. They obviously played Celta Vigo. The league's done for them. You know, it's a different kettle of fish to what we've been going through this weekend. And if there's just a fraction of a percent where they think, well, we've got a nice cushion here. I mean, I think back to a completely different game and how it lined up, like, but like Dortmund, when Dortmund came to Anfield and got a couple of goals early on, like they just came and flexed the muscles, and then you could see them go, there we go, we've broken the back of this. I really like the idea of us shell shocking Barcelona and seeing how they react.
Yeah, I know. Chris said it before, and he's exactly right. We've had a great season. You can't forget that. And there were so many people so upset after this Barcelona game, but there's a reason we are where we are.
Yeah.
And Anfield as a fortress has been a massive part of that. Yeah. Barcelona need to come and play at Anfield. That's not easy for any team in world football to do. And you're saying we're going to create a chance in the first 10 minutes? I reckon we'll create more than one. I reckon we'll create up to three, and we're just going to keep creating and keep going. And the work rate and the intensity that we played with at Barcelona, we made three changes. We had a centre midfielder in the number nine,
and
we
had who's basically relegated to the six.
Yeah.
For us in recent weeks, our DM played centre forward.
Exactly, and then we had a centre back at right back who can't play right back. In fairness, but we still created so many chances. Yeah. That one where Milner runs in and Genie literally lets it run through his legs and to open the space. If that goes in, you're going Genie Wijnaldum number nine forever. You know what I mean? And get out there, just show them what we're made of. Because, like you say, what if
this season for me has been a constant redefining of how good this Liverpool side is. You know, we talk about the narratives all the time on here, don't we? And we talk about, you know, can they bounce back from this? Can they go 1-0 down against Arsenal and score 4? Yeah, we did that, you know what I mean? How many times we pulled late winners out and stuff? And it now feels like, looking back on this season, that this is kind of what it's all been building towards. They're like the little battles before fucking Helm's Deep, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what it feels like at the moment is, I said it before, look, we scored 3 against Manchester City in 9 minutes or something last season. We did the same to Roma. Istanbul, everyone thought we were down and out. We were 3-0 down. We had 45 minutes to turn that one round. This Liverpool side can do it. It's going to be fucking tough.
Yeah.
But this is what we've been building towards this season. And this squad know it as well. Like, and they will not be wanting to just whimper out of this competition, though.
For me, there's two important things. There's using Anfield to our advantage the same way that Barcelona did, because the new camp, like Lionel Messi, just throws himself on the floor, and because he's reached that level of deification. But they all do this when he scores. It's weird. It's really weird. I quite like it, but it's weird. We should be doing that. We've got 54,000 people there, you know, the vast majority of which will be Liverpool fans, and they should be baying for blood. You know, we should be doing all the same things that they were doing and looking to influence the referee. But the other thing is in realising that it's a 90-minute, potentially 120-minute game of football, and you're right, because, you know, we don't need to get 4 goals in the first half. We don't need to do this, because I wouldn't be more concerned about us if we managed to go 4-0 up in the first half. I actually think we'd have less of a chance of actually getting over the line, because you don't want to blow yourself out here. We've got to make sure that we start fast, yes, try and get that first goal, just like Man City did to us in the Champions League last season. But we don't need to go full throttle until we've got nothing left, because we need to tire them as well, and trust the fitness-wise, we will be fitter than them, hopefully, come the end of the game. That it might take a 96th-minute towering header from Degsy Lovren or whatever, but so be it. Because my biggest concern in this, it's all well and good going like 2 or 3 up, but then what do you do?
Because they change their game
exactly,
then.
And then they're just going right. Great, it weirdly shifts momentum back towards them to some extent. So
first minute, 70th minute. And then everything goes fucking mental at the end.
Yeah, I'd take 2 up in the first 15, and then you've got the rest of the game then to just keep them on edge and start.
And
to
they
pick them
their
apart.
Game plan will contribute to that, because you know what they're like. I mean, Sergio Busquets in particular, they will be like PSG from minute one. They will go over, and we've got to be streetwise in that sense, because the crowd will obviously be up for
they're
it.
Gonna
they
to
will
take
very
time
much.
The
yeah.
game,
they're going to do a Mourinho 2014. Yeah. Whatever year that was. Yeah. So they've got that. We've got to be like
it's every year Mourinho.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's the yeah.
We need
Fabinho. It did happen with Fabinho the other night, where basically if you get touch tight to Messi, he will just go over. Yeah. And you've got to be so aware of that. We've had too many occasions with this season.
Like if he's going to go over anyway. just knee him in the balls. I mean, Fabinho probably can't do that because his knees is literally at like his chest height. But just do it. Just keep, I mean, I know. Look, this is so rudimental because like no one's ever thought to kick Messi before. But I mean, if he's going to go down like he's been booted, then at least do him a favour and Milner give him something to actually roll about.
That's what Milner did, and then he does the Neymar in the World Cup and rolls down the touchline.
Yeah.
But that's what you've got to do. You've got to get in there and show him that he's in a game of football. But I spoke about this as it's a story. This is genuinely a place where you can come out of this game as a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't matter. Every single one of them players. Mo Salah could come out of this as someone that you just... He is the best.
Absolutely. People talk about them. We still talk about Dortmund, and it was a quarter final of the Europa League, for God's sake. You know, people talk about Saint Etienne, people talk about Chelsea semi finals and all this kind of stuff. You're dead right. That's the most exciting thing about this game, is that it's set up to be. Look, it might be nothing. 3-0 just might be too much because Barca are an amazing side. They might just come and get a goal, and that might be pretty much it. But they might not, and we might be able to do it. And that's what it all is. All it is the chance that something might happen. Right, we're going to talk a little bit more in a moment. Before we do, Chris and I have got a brand new podcast and a brand new YouTube channel. It's a bit more random than what we do here, but it's very good. Check it out.
So if you go back to World War II, my Jadak, which is the Polish for granddad, he was an officer in a cavalry unit going against fucking tanks in Germany.
So we've all heard that, like, anyone remembers the wars when the Polish got absolutely decimated because Blitzkrieg, because the Germans turned up with tanks and the Poles fought them on horses.
And well, my granddad was one of them. And then he was a prisoner of war in, I think it was a camp called something like Olaf 7 or something like that. It was a German officer's prisoner of war camp. So he was there for about 6 years. At the time, my nan, and my dad's eldest brother and eldest sister, who were both born in Poland, were in Vilnius, and then they moved to the USSR when Poland got taken over and all that shit. And then they were like hiding in the USSR, and then my granddad got out of a prisoner of war camp and got moved to Polish resettlement corps over in England. Once they freed all the camps and stuff like that. So I think he was inside for about 6, 7, 8 years. Then, because of his military ties, he managed to find where his wife and kids were, and they walked from, I think they went to the USSR, went back to Krakow, where they were originally from. They actually had a lot of land in Krakow. My nan's side of the family were really, really wealthy, but they had it all taken off them by the Germans and stuff, and they never got that back. So they ended up walking from Krakow through to France and then getting a boat over to England. So she was on her own with two kids, probably about 13 and 10, something like that, walked from Poland all the way over to England, got the boat obviously to England, and then they met up again. I believe it was something like 12 or 13 years from when he last saw his wife.
There you go. Go and subscribe to our brand new channel then. We're having a good laugh, and if you need to like kind of like decompress from the whole football thing, we do a bit of general footy, but there's loads of random life stuff as well. So if you, for some reason, like me and Chris, I don't know why you would, but if you do, more about us and our lives and all that kind of stuff. It's good fun, isn't it?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
right, yes, Tom. we've been bigging it up. We've been giving it the beans because we're all about the optimism here. But let's talk about the stone cold reality of it. Bobby Firmino's not likely to be involved in this game. Mohamed Salah, not likely to be involved in this game. We're in a healthier position than we were when we went to Kiev, but we're not in a situation where I'm looking at it and thinking a front line that's got one or two of Daniel Sturridge, Divock Origi or Jadon Sancho is necessarily going to fill me with loads of
options. No, and I mentioned before about Naby Keita as well. Yeah. These are really, really good attacking options that we've been kind of... It's all started to click recently, hasn't it? So Bobby Firmino, being that the fella we ping the ball to from the sides and he holds it up and plays it on, we saw just how much of a big miss it was in the first leg. I mean, Gini did a good job doing it, again, like I said before, but Mo Salah's massive one.
Yeah.
Like that's massive if he can't play that. And it's more just the fear factor. Obviously, he does everything else on the pitch and backs that up.
Yeah.
So it's not just fear factor, but it means that, look, who you're bringing in? Are we going to have to change formation, you know, what to accommodate these new players coming in?
Do we need to be changing formation with 3 days to go before playing one of the best teams in world football?
Exactly.
No, I get it. Is there something too? Because I think we had a brief chat about it, Ben, and a lot of immediate reactions was like, Sadio Mane in the 9 and maybe put Origi on the wing and maybe Shaqiri in there. Is that the best reckon we've got?
Probably. I mean, it depends on what midfield you want to play. I mean, you know, it probably is Shaqiri. I mean, you've been working from the majority of the season. When you're playing Mane, you've been working with at least the other, like you've been working with two of the front three, haven't you?
Yeah.
So with only one of the front three available, I don't know whether that'll change his plans, whether he does look to change to a 4-2-3-1, whether he looks to get Ox in there, you know, I don't know.
Oxlade-Chamberlain's the interesting one in there. I think, Chris, that we kind of even just in conversations off camera, we've not really discussed as an option, but we didn't get to see him against Newcastle, which is a curse and a blessing because he hasn't had more minutes in his legs, but equally, he hasn't had more minutes in his legs. So he's fresh, but he's not sharp. That might be his downfall in this one.
I think I think he goes with the players that have been playing for him. You know, I think the Origi's going to come into this game. I think Mane's probably going to start. I think Shaqiri's going to come in. Klopp might have been impressed with Sturridge against Newcastle. I know a lot of Liverpool fans weren't. I thought Sturridge had a really good game, certainly in the first 25
Definitely
minutes.
In the first half.
Think I thought he tired after maybe 25, but he got back into it. And I think sometimes we judge Sturridge a little bit too harshly. Like, we judge him for not being Bobby Firmino rather than just judging him for being Sturridge. And when you just look at him I think when he's got the ball at his feet, he's a good player.
I wonder whether there's something in there. We saw Gini Wijnaldum start up there in the new camp. You know, if there's something that he liked in that. For me, it's Mane. It all boils down to, we need to score lots of goals. Mane's now our best player left. So where is he most likely to score goals from? Do you want him providing service or do you want him as the focal point? And we've seen him as both. He was great as the main man in Kiev when it fell down to it. We've seen him a couple of decent performances when he's played centre forward for us. Who else you put around? Like, I think I could make peace with Origi on the left, Oxlade-Chamberlain on the right, and Sadio Mane through the middle. I could make the peace with Shaqiri for that.
But you're not necessarily getting the service from the wingers, are you? We discussed about how this team works, so I think he's the focal point because you're getting your service from your fullbacks. You know, we discussed, you know, with the after Newcastle, how many assists our fullbacks are getting. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen Sadio Mane score headers this season. So if we play him through the middle and we've got Trent and Robertson playing the balls, we know they can play. Assuming he starts Trent, then you go, well, there you go. You know, you don't necessarily need Shaqiri to be playing the crosses in. You know, you can be playing them as a narrow front three.
You're saying that as well, but you're saying he scored headers. He's not done that by being the number 9.
True.
With the way we play him as that left-hand side, and we saw it with that chance when Hendo sprays the ball from a deep cross, the way that we play football, the wingers get in the box anyway. So are we going to... He was so good on that left-hand side.
But who's going to occupy their centre-halves the most? Because how we attack is so hinged upon that guy being multifaceted. But, and that's why Gini did it, because we trusted his touch, we trusted his work rate, we trusted him to link play. I'm not sure Sturridge has even got the legs to do that. Even you know now, having played the game, the full game against Newcastle, is Origi intelligent enough to do it? That's why the Mane thing for me. I think we probably will lash him in there.
Do we know Salah with the concussion stuff? Is that can you just not play him?
All we know is that Klopp said, and this is obviously at the time of recording, of course, was that he was more upbeat about his prognosis. Mm-hmm. I think he stated for me, you know, basically he's got no chance. But I'm hoping that's just gamesmanship. But who knows? And Salah was more optimistic about Wolves and less optimistic about this. But again, I wouldn't be giving Barcelona any hope. So no. We can all let's all cross our fingers and toes and do a little bit of that praying that Chris was talking about on the final word, and hope that it is all just Klopp, just not why. Because why would he?
Can I be a little bit optimistic here?
Please.
Are the Barcelona plan for this?
No idea.
We've watched fucking 100 and whatever games in charge, Jürgen Klopp's had. This is the one where I've got less of a clue than any of the others. Barcelona will be coming in here going, what the fuck are they going to do here? Yeah. And with an hour to go, they're going to be scrambling around going, where's the tape on fucking Shaqiri and Origi? There's only about 60 minutes all season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, listen, Daniel Sturridge could do a job up there. Sadio Mane could do a job up there. I'd be really surprised if Origi was given the task of being the number nine, considering that I think he's probably had the least minutes of all of them in the nine position this season. But Shaqiri can play that inside right forward position. Sadio Mane can play the number nine. Divock can play the left. I think we're probably overthinking it here. I think that's probably how we'll go.
It's more just that thing. You're dead right. And look, I think that team's capable of getting a win. It's just, is it capable of scoring three goals against Barcelona? I'm not sure. And that's why it's tough. One outside chance, and I don't think there's a cat in hell chance that he will start in this game, and he probably won't even appear, but we might see, as an outside chance, is Brewster on the bench, just because we know he's in training and he's on the institution. I wouldn't be putting any hopes on him in any way. Absolutely.
Scores the fourth.
Yeah, made for life. Gets a standard ovation like we gave Sterling. I wouldn't want to put any pressure on him at all. I don't think Klopp would, but I wonder whether, you know, if we have to start Sturridge and Origi, you're going to need someone who can play up front. Him or like a Bobby Duncan or something as a random outside. Yeah. Or Paul Gatto, just someone who's a forward.
You've got them, yeah.
Listen, situation's dire if we're requiring these unplayed, untested and unfit kids to do it, but it'd be interesting nevertheless. Exciting, random, unknown. Going against the unknown in the second leg Champions League against Barcelona. I hope this is all just boss gamesmanship from Jürgen and Bobby Firmino, just like sat with his feet up and one of that weird straw tea that they all have that they're all banging to them Brazilians, just chilling watching his Barca tapes. But yeah, we'll see in due course. Tom, score prediction.
5-1. Look, I genuinely think Barcelona are going to score, but I'm also optimistic that we're going to go through the tie, and the only way to really do that comfortably is by scoring five goals.
Go ahead, Ben.
I think we're winning 3-1. I think Barca will score, and I think we might find ourselves in a situation where we're 2-0 up, but I just don't see them scoring. I think depending on the situation with the league, that might affect the team selection, and I do think we'll just come up short. I think we can do it, but I think me heart of heart says 3-1.
Okay. 3-0, penalties.
Last gasp
third goal maybe? Or
last gasp.
Why are you making this as horrible as it has to be?
This is what we do. I'm just trying to decide now.
We always just have penalties in the European Cup Champions all the time. Brilliant fun penalty shootout.
The last European penalty shootout
we had was Dejan Lovren skying it in the Ataturk, so, you know.
I can't handle
that. I'll be honest with everyone.
Milner Panenka to win it.
This is the second time recording this part of the show because we tried to get it in early and the Salah things totally knocked my head west, because I believed that without Firmino I thought we could give them a good game, but we required Mane and Salah, and I had 5-1 was my prediction. I thought they'd score, but I thought we'd just score one more. I could see pens and all that. I think we can win this game, but I think it's going to take one of those all-time mega by the seat of our pants, total freak like wins. If we're to do this, I don't think we're going to do this the way that we've done it this season. I think we're going to have to do it the way that we've done it in all these other mad years when we've done mad stuff. So it's going to take magic. It's going to take one of those when you have poems written about it by spoken word, you know,
by
like
bards.
Yeah, honestly, like by just something crazy that we'll never forget for the rest of our lives, because we're going to need it. Because I think that our magic comes from that front three. And if we're having to play, you know, lads aren't at that level, I think we need to be at our best level to beat Barca. But, you know, like, footy's mad, isn't it? Like, I mean, so I'm not going to discount us getting through in any way, shape or form. I just don't think it's going to be done in half an hour. Like, maybe it would be if we had the full strength team. It's probably going to take a ludicrous injury time goal to take it to extra time, and then it's going to take someone you don't want to take a penalty to claw it back from the brink for us, and then it's going to take a fucking, you know, a last penalty save from Alex. It's going to be mad. So strap yourselves in, lads, because this is our fucking football club. Boss and heartbreaking and heart-wrenching and testing and testing and trying. And hopefully it'll be satisfying as well. Thank you very much, gents. Liverpool Barcelona without loads of our best players. That'll be fun, yeah? If you think it'll be fun, drop a like on the video, score predictions, starting 11 predictions as well, and strap in, Reds, because you know what? It's fucking mad. It's a mad, mad world we inhabit. Enjoy it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.